Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I cannot be silent, His love in this theme of the song. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, His child and forever I am. In His beauty I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footstep and gives me the song in the night. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, His child and forever I am. Amen. Let's see. Brother Ramel, would you open us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I know what happened to me there. I started looking at 662 and got kind of confused here a little bit. But on Saturday, the 9th, this coming Saturday, there will be a memorial service for Brother Frank. Today at the church here at 11 a.m. and everyone is invited to come. Is there anything else that we need to announce?
No, I think that's it. There will be a reception following, and everyone is welcome. I'd be delighted if everyone
would
come.
Amen. Amen. And then on April 17th, after the morning service, we're going to have our business report for the entire church, and we'll talk about a few things and go over the financial statement. And also, we have a couple of things to announce from the board and also the trustees. And so, if everyone can be here next or on the 17th. After the morning service, we would appreciate it. Amen. Let's see. Let's turn over to, we're going to sing 542 instead of 541. 542. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy present pasture feed us, for our use thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear thy children when they pray. Blessed Jesus, hear thy children when they pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosom fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, thou wilt still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Amen. We have a scripture reading from Brother Raul this morning. Brother Raul, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. What a way to start the service. Redeemed, redeemed. Are you redeemed? Amen. Amen. I'm reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 34 in Psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Almighty is the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to me and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord camps about all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, none of them are broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Johnny, if you could come up and sing for us, and After that, we're going to have an offering, and then we have another special. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what? Let me tell you something. My life would not be worth living if it wasn't for my Lord Jesus. Amen. He is the one that does all things for me. Every hour, I need him. Every minute of the hour, I need him. Every second of the minute, I need my Lord. I need him continuously, please. The Lord, I confess, now before you, I find my rest, for without you, I fall apart, but you're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh my God, how I need you. With sin run deep, your grace is more. With grace this town is where you are. Now where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, my God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, oh, I'll fall on you. For Jesus, you're my hope and save. I need you. Now every hour, oh, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, my God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, my God, how I need you. Now you are my defense, oh my righteousness, my Lord, how I need you. Yes, I do, my Lord Jesus. I need him. Praise God. If you don't need Jesus, something is wrong with you. Praise God.
Hey, amen. Yes. Brother Pat.
These are right, but it's the wrong month. These are for April. So I think Joy has a birthday.
Yes.
So
do we have any? Do Do we have anyone here that has a birthday this month? Mary. Yes. Amen. And Ramel. Amen. So I guess it's time to sing happy birthday. We're going to sing to Mary and Ramel. Amen. How about Brother Mac, too? Can't forget Brother Mac. Amen. Sam and Betsy aren't here, but they have an anniversary. 1951. Wow. Let's all sing happy birthday to Mary. You want to stand up, Mary and Ramel? Let us sing happy birthday to you. And Mac. We got a couple more there. Amen. Amen. Yes. didn't want to admit it. Yeah. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Cha cha cha. Amen. You guys should have stayed standing. Let's all rise and sing 519 for our offering. And then after that, we'll have another wonderful special. 519. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed. thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Brother Roger.
Father, we thank you so much for your gratefulness. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that everything is done here today will be to glorify you. Be at Brother Poole. He breaks open the bread of life to us, that hearts and minds will be tuned to your word. Again, be with those that cannot be here because of illness and traveling. Lord, we just pray that you be with them, guide them, and direct them. Thank you for this offering. Use it not only to further the gospel here at our church, but throughout the world by missionaries, priests. Thank you for loving us and dying on the cross for us and shedding your blood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we're going to have a special from Sister Faith and Brother George's daughters, Zariel and Sevia. 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 Amen. Is that okay? Are we okay here? Is this okay? Is this all right? Pardon me? This mic?
I don't need two
mics. You don't need two mics? Okay.
Many times I tried and tested, as I travel day by day, oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that the soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me. And His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me.
Such a blessing. We haven't heard heard singing like that since Brother Pat and Mary's daughter, Kelly, used to come up here with her little guitar and sing her songs. It was that's a blessing. Amen. Thank you, man. Brother Pooler, let's get it rolling, I guess we can say.
That was some good singing. I like that little. I like that little girl. She says, "I don't need two mics." If she doesn't need two mics, then Lord knows I don't need one mic. Or I could say maybe I do need two mics. I don't know. And then everybody would say that I do. Vivian, could you grab my water, please? But it was great. You know how I know that it was not a Marine. Leading the singing this morning to the church singing because military, yes, but I could tell it wasn't a Marine, because if you notice the order of song choices all went backwards in number. The Marine would have chosen all those songs, but would have ordered them going forward, not backward. Just thought I'd throw that out there, brother. Five something, six something, but you went backwards in descending order. It's, you know, it's kind of like that. So, but
it's like pictures like painting by the numbers. Marines need the 1, 2, 3, 4.
And then we know we get it done right. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, would you stand with me and turn into the book of Philippians? We're only going to have one text verse today. And it's going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you for standing to honor the reading of God's word. Philippians 4, 1, and Paul writes here, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the singing we've had. Thank you for the special music and the hearts of the people, dear God, the joyful hearts and the laughter. Father, I pray now that as your word is preached, Lord, as Paul and the men on the road to Damascus saw a great light, they heard a voice but saw no man, I pray that your glory would fill this sanctuary today, that a voice of man may be heard, but nothing is seen except the glory of God. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. maybe seated, thank you. As I was saying today, that one text verse, but when you look at it, Paul begins his text, this word, the text verse we have, therefore. Now, as I've said before, that's one word that you need to get to know. Because when you see the word therefore, what it's there for is you need to go on a hunt. You need to go on a hunt because you have to find out what therefore is there for. Because he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So if you want to take out the commas or take out some of the parenthetical statements, you could say, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, so stand fast in the Lord. But therefore what? So you go on a hunt, usually in the verse or few verses. And in this case, you need to go to chapter 3, verses 7 to 21. Paul's going to list a bunch of things that we're going to take a look at. So he also tells us to stand fast in the Lord. And he says, therefore. But Paul is going to, therefore, in 7 through 21 of chapter 3 in Philippians, tell us how and why to stand so fast in the Lord. Because if someone tells you to stand fast, why? How? How do you want me to do it? Why? What? How long? Whatever the case may be, we need to know. And it begs the question, what does that mean? So Paul reveals the several aspects of Christ that are foundational to the Christian faith. So to stand fast, when you look at that, it's a military term. Stand fast. That is that firm, to stop, stand right where you are, and be firm in your stand. And he says, so my mind took and with the word firm. And when I looked at the word firm, I thought of all those points that I'm going to share with you today. I thought of the word foundation. So firm and foundation all came to me out of stand fast, stand firm. And when I thought of foundation, I looked up the definition of foundation, and you know what the word I found was? Bedrock. A synonym was called bedrock. And so I looked at that term bedrock, and it's that two definitions came out. That solid rock foundation that when you dig down through all the other parts of the earth, that's what supports everything else to the earth. That bedrock, you get to the bedrock. Or a strong idea, principle, or fact that supports a faith or belief system. Bedrock. So, which is why Paul tells us to stand fast, but to do so in the Lord. And how we do that, we're standing upon the bedrock that we're going to see that is Christ. So I titled this message, Welcome to Bedrock. Welcome to Bedrock. So, and then everybody knows, because my wife, when I shared the title with her, Welcome to Bedrock, she said, what are you going to do, preach on the Flintstones? I said, no. I said, but when you think of Bedrock, the town of Bedrock, as a kid, I grew up on that cartoon. When you think of the town of Bedrock, what's the whole town? Everything has to do with stone. Barney Rubble, Fred Flintstone, Mr. Slate, Sandy Shalestone. I mean, all those things. It was rock. What better town? What better title? When you think of what we're going to talk about, the how Paul says to stand fast in the Lord, that we're going to see why the bedrock, when you get through all of the stuff, you come to the bedrock that is Christ. So when I titled this message, I went through and I researched this message from other preachers who preached on this text. And every one of them said, stand fast, stand firm, a firm stand in God. All of them took and was plain. I wanted something that if you saw it in the bulletin, you would say, welcome to Bedrock. What's he going to preach? And if Fred Flintstone were real and were here, my friend, my pastor back in Maine says, with a title like that, you know you've got to say something that he said. And I said, he said, you got to find a way to work it into your sermon. So I'm going to get it out of the way right now. If Fred Flintstone were here and he happened to agree, in Baptist churches, we say amen, right? Amen, right? We say amen, so be it. Fred Flintstone's version of amen would be yabba dabba doo. So, you know what? That's it. So now I can tell my pastor friend in Maine that if he told me when I preached this message at Pacific Baptist College, he said, if you don't say it before the end of your sermon, he says, I'm going to stand up and say yabba dabba doo. And I said, so I had to find a way to work it in. So I do now get it out of the way because I know y'all were thinking about it to begin with if you were honest with yourselves and me. So let's get started here. In verses 8 and 9 of chapter 3 in Philippians, it says this. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 3, we read this. Well, let's go to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So, what's the first thing he says to therefore stand fast in the Lord? Not his own righteousness, but standing fast in his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. That's the first thing Paul says that we are to, why we're to stand fast in Christ. Because we're not standing in our own righteousness. We're standing in the righteousness that is Christ. Paul says, all things that I could say about myself, he says, I counted all but loss. I counted all but dung that I may win the excellency of Christ. Paul had a great resume. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Jew and a Roman. He was both, and he had a great resume. And so he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he says at one point. So his resume was great, but he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ. And he talks about standing in Christ's righteousness. Understand this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 6, even as David also does describe the blessed, he says here, for even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I stand here today righteous. I am righteous. And if you are a child of God here today, born of God, born again of God, you are righteous. Now, the last thing I would think of myself is righteous, because I know me. Nobody knows me like me. My wife even doesn't know me like me. But she knows me better than you know me. And there are times when, well, if he's righteous, then this guy over here has got to be pretty good too. No, because I stand in the righteousness of Christ. Blessed is the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I don't have to work for the righteousness that God gave me. Amen. It was imputed to me. When Jesus became my sin, I traded my filthy righteous rags, self-righteousness, which the Bible calls as filthy rags, I traded them in, and I got the robe of righteousness that is Christ. What is that? What kind of righteousness is that? It's redeeming, a righteousness that redeems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's the righteousness that redeems me. I have that righteousness because of what we sang. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. It never will change. Nothing I do will make me any more or any less redeemed than the day I got saved. Let that sink in for a minute. You cannot even give back, not that anybody would want to, you cannot even give back the righteousness that was imputed to you the day you were born again. Not that anybody would want to. His child and forever I am. And it's righteousness that justifies. Romans 3, 24 to 26, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he may be just and the justifier of him who believeth. I shared this the first time I think I was down here, and I don't ever want to get tired of saying it, no matter how many times I repeat it. When I say the word justified, many of you, as I said the first time I preached a message that had justification in it, people have always been taught, I knew from the time I was a young boy, especially from the time I got saved, justified. Just like grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's much more than that. Justified, just as if I had never sinned. It's whole, a way lot more than that. Justified is the guilty being declared by a holy judge not guilty because of the innocent. Let that sink in for a minute. Would we all not agree that as sinful man, that when the day we came to Christ, and even today, we're guilty? Guilty of what? Sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. All have sinned. That means, David, are you guilty? Yes. The day I came to Christ, I was guilty. In my own mind, I'm no less guilty because I'm still sinful. But as I came to Christ, the righteousness was given to me, that redeeming righteousness, which also justifies me. And I stood before a holy God, and he sees the righteousness of Christ, and he says, David Pooler, not guilty. Now, as before, like we've said in Ephesians, when it talks about put off, put off, put off, well, when you put things off, you got to put things on in its place. So when the guilt got removed, the guilt had to go somewhere. The guilt had to go somewhere, and he looks at the innocent, the Son of God, the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, and says, guilty. Let that sink in. Please let it sink in and let it grip your hearts to be where when I choose not to sin, I want that to be my deciding factor. It's one less sin that Jesus had to be declared guilty for of mine. So we have stand fast in his righteousness. Chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So we stand fast in Christ, standing fast in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his righteousness, standing fast in his resurrection power. When I say, when you read that verse, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, tell me, if I'm on the mark, somebody say amen. If I'm on the mark with what I'm saying that you're about to, that you thought when you read that verse, that we think of, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, that one day we're going to rise from the dead. We're going to have a resurrection. Is that about right, what you thought? Amen. Not even close to what that verse is talking about. I used to think that too. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Was Paul dead? No, he wasn't. He was alive. So when is the resurrection power that he wants to know and understand and know Christ by? Now. Now, living in light of resurrection power, walking the Christian life, standing in his righteousness, standing in the power of his resurrection, he's talking about standing. He tells us to stand in verse 1 of Philippians 4. At the resurrection, will I need to worry about standing? No, I need to worry about standing now in my life now so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection now. Yes, we're going to know the power of his resurrection the day that our bodies are raised from the dead if we died before the Lord comes back. But Paul is talking about knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection now and living confidently, boldly, in light of that resurrection power that he knows exists. Because here's the thing. If you live in light of resurrection power, one of our greatest fears that we've always have as human beings is death. Death, if the Lord doesn't come back, death is going to come one day for each and every one of us. But if I know that I'm going to rise to eternal life because Jesus said so, can I still not serve God confidently in light of, even in the face of certain death? If somebody needs the gospel, even if my life is threatened to preach that gospel? Through his sufferings, you will definitely get to know somebody when you suffer for them. Paul suffered for Christ. He said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You will not live the Christian life if you live it boldly in light of resurrection power and not suffer for Christ. Whether it be ridicule, mocking, or outright persecution. And trust me, folks, most of us in this room today, we may call certain things we've gone through persecuted at work or something like that, but we have nowhere near touched persecution in this country. Not when you go over and live in other countries where people are dying for their faith. Where people are like that missionary I told you the story of whose children were taken. And this tribe who he was teaching about Jesus, and one by one they wanted this man to teach and declare that what he's been preaching, Jesus wasn't real and the word of God wasn't true. And he took his I think he had like four daughters, and he started with the oldest, and they grabbed her tongue, and they took a knife and said, missionary, tell us and tell the people that Jesus isn't real and what you've been preaching is not true. And even the child, you think, talk about some faith. That little girl says, daddy, don't you do it. And he says, I can't. And they cut her tongue. They grabbed the next daughter. They did the same thing. And each child of the first three of his four daughters said, don't do it, daddy. And weeping, he says, I can't. And they get down to the youngest daughter. They drop their knives and they fall at the missionary's feet. And they cried out, missionary, tell us about this Jesus that you are so willing and your children are so willing to risk life and limb for. And it turned that tribe around. That was a true missionary story. And the missionary that was sharing that story, my wife remembers hearing in our church the story of the missionary. And in that church, they had a group of they had a deaf ministry. Guess who was signing the message for the deaf ministry? The three girls that could not speak because they no longer had a tongue. That's a credit to the righteousness of God, and that is credit to living in resurrection power. That's what Paul's talking about. Even though we go through death itself, resurrection power now and then. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 tells us that we need to comfort one another with these words as because we know that some may sleep. And in Thessalonians it talks about that this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. And then we could say, oh death, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Jesus conquered it. We live knowing that what we fear the most, death and the grave, have already been conquered by the one who is giving us to live in resurrection power. So you see, it's not for the then. Oh, it applies. But its primary purpose is for us to live in light of that resurrection power now. Today. Don't wait for the then. Live in confidence. Share your faith and stand for Christ. Confident in the resurrection power that even if you were to be chosen and counted worthy to die for Jesus. I can't imagine that. I only hope, and we say, well, I would. I believe Peter when he said, not so, Lord, I would die for you. I won't forsake you. I believe he meant it with all his heart. But then just a few chapters later, a few days later, what did Peter do? Three times. He denied his Lord when he could have said, yes, I know the man. But he was afraid of death. To the point he even, the Bible says, cursed, saying he didn't know the man. And Peter was a fisherman. And I think that the cursing of that day probably was, we might not, whatever Peter said, I don't know. But I don't know what the cursing is today. But we've heard cursing in the world today. The wicked speech that we hear. I can only imagine what Peter must have said to try to be convincing that he didn't know the Lord. And at the very moment, the rooster crowed. And then Peter, Jesus says nothing, but then Peter and the Lord's eyes meet. And the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. When's the last time? I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me. Because as a child of God, I've done things that boy, with my life, I could say the things that I've done before God called me to preach was like denying the Lord with my life. So that there are times, and my wife has seen some of them, most of the ones she doesn't, but she knows they exist, where I've just wept. Said, dear God, how could I? How could I? Now I don't ask the question. When I do, I very catch myself when I say, boy, how could Israel have denied or doubted God after coming through the Red Sea? How could Israel, after water coming from a rock, how could Peter, after walking? Peter is the only man, other than the Son of God, for however many steps he did, Don't you judge Peter, because Peter's the only one of us that's walked on water. Albeit he started to sink, but I don't know any one of us that probably wouldn't sink, but bless God, Peter walked on water. So he wept. So we live in light of his righteousness and right of resurrection power. And in verses 11 through 14, if by any means, Paul says, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that. I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then he says here, that's he's talking about, and then he goes on in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what are we saying? What's he saying? Standing, not as though I had already attained. What is our goal? When the day that you and I got saved, if you're here born again, what is the Bible? And Paul says, I know that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of redemption. What is that good work that began in you and me if you're saved? To be like Christ Jesus. God is doing everything and desires to make us conformable to the image of Christ. So it says, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were I already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that I may grasp, that I may grab a hold of, that I might firmly understand and clearly understand what? For the very same thing, Paul says that he was arrested or apprehended of Christ. And that was to be like Christ. Paul says, I want to apprehend, I want to grab a hold of Christ's likeness. And because it's the very same thing for which Christ apprehended me to be like. When Christ called Paul to be an apostle. And I'm not going to go into detail with it, but I think Paul was the actual 12th apostle. Matthias may have been one they voted on, but we could discuss that later. Paul, all of the apostles were chosen by Christ. Matthias was voted on. And the lots fell upon him. So you could say that God chose Matthias, but whom did Jesus call? Personally, face to face, like he did all the others, he met with Paul on the road to Damascus. He was an apostle born one of due time. And I believe that while Matthias may have been the vote that was casted, God had other plans. When Jesus had other plans, when he said, Paul, when he called Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he goes and becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, or apostle to the Jews. And then, so we see that Paul says he wants to be, he says, to stand fast in Christ in his likeness, not yet fully attained, in verse 12, but he calls it his ever-present goal in the second half of verse 12. But I follow after it. And then he also says, I press toward the mark. So it's a constant goal, it's a constant striving for Paul. He doesn't want to lose sight of Christ's likeness. And he keeps his eyes on, he calls it the prize. The prize, he says in verse 14. The press toward the mark for the prize. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the highest calling for you and I? Is to be like, live like, show others the image of Christ. I got done preaching one time in Hesperia. At a church, Grace Baptist Church. You know, one of the hardest things for me to accept, because I don't know how to, other than say amen, 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 is when people come up to me and say, oh, it was a good message, preacher. That was a good message, preacher. Because it's not my message. I've said before, like Solomon, Jesus, God says, wherewithal are you going to build me a temple? David, I'm using God's word. I'm using the mouth that God gave me. I'm using the body and the energy that God gives me. So what of mine am I bringing to the table? Nothing. So when someone says that, but one elderly lady came up to me after that message for the first time. Oh, I tell you, this was, it warmed me and actually stunned me at the same time when she said, "Preacher," she said, "that was some spirit-filled preaching." Bless God, that's what I want to hear. When I see that, like I pray, that like Paul, when he was on Saul, when he was on the road to Damascus, and the light filled and just knocked everybody down and blinded Paul, and the Bible says that they heard a voice but saw no man. I want God's voice to be heard and his glory be such that nobody sees the man behind the pulpit. Because I'm just a vessel. I'm nobody special. I'm just someone that's called to preach. Not a single man in this church couldn't get up here and preach the word of God. But it's, why do you preach? You preach to fulfill a calling. That's why. So Paul says, stand fast in his righteousness. Stand fast in his resurrection power, in his likeness. And then in verses 15 to 17, in his unity. Paul says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. That's unity. He's talking about the unity that is in Christ. He says it. He says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. That word perfect is not without error. It just means complete, mature. The longer you live for Christ, the more you study, the more mature you get, the older you get, the more you understand God's word, and the more victories that God gives you, you get more confidence in the Lord. So he says, let as many of you as be complete, be mature, be thus minded. How minded? The high calling, to press toward the mark, the righteousness, to stand in light of the righteousness, the resurrection, and in his likeness. Then he talks about his unity, because he goes on to say, nevertheless, whereunto in verse 16, where you've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. And it says here, and if any, in verse 15, if any of you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. This body called Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, let us be like-minded, those that are mature, walk in front of those that are weak, and they learn so that they, and if there's any that are not like-minded, not pressing toward the mark, not losing the focus, God will reveal it unto them, and that they can get their focus corrected. So that they can be part of the unity that is Christ. Unity in assembling, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And then he ends that verse with, and so much the more. We should not, churches that are Bible preaching fundamental churches, regardless whether they have the name Baptist on them or Bible on them or just community church, if they're Bible preaching churches, they should be holding more services, not less services, as this day approaches. What day? The day of the Lord's return. The worse this world gets, the more we need to assemble. Because that's where we find our unity. When we scatter all over Chula Vista and San Diego area, the church is scattered. When do we get our unity? When we come together and assemble. And we feast around God's word. Unity that breeds courage. You know, Paul says in Philippians 1, 27 and 28, Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, he talks about, let your conversation be as if it cometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. This world, no matter how unnerving and how unsettling, because we're human beings, we get a little nervous and we think, that's so terrible. That's so. But yet we don't get so terrified that we lose sight of the goal as this church body to strive, as Paul says in Philippians 1, for once to strive in one spirit, one mind for the faith of the gospel. Unity. So we're standing fast in his righteousness, in his resurrection power, in his likeness, in his unity. If you look at, and I'm going to shock you, when I say the Lord's Prayer, what do you think of? Our Father which art in heaven. Don't you tell me. I know you did, right? Your mind went there, right? That is not the Lord's Prayer. Bless God. Let's learn our Bibles. That is the Lord's model or pattern for prayer, outline or blueprint for prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17, the entire chapter, and all of it is for us and those future believers that would be in Christ. And he prays several times, Lord, that they may be as one as you and I are one, I and you and me, and I and them. Unity, he's praying for unity among the brethren. Because if we can't love each other and be unified to each other, with each other in the same Christ Jesus, then how can we hope that there be unity whatsoever in the world? It seems like people can be unified more in sin than the church is unified in Christ in separation. That's the real Lord's Prayer, John 17. Read it, and everybody sits there and says, we're going to say, but I get all the debates. He'll say, no, that's not the Lord's Prayer. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If you look at Jesus, what he said in Matthew, he says, when you pray, pray in this manner, after this pattern, after these steps. And he basically just tells the order, how we organize our prayer, if you want to have it, quote unquote, organized. But the real Lord's Prayer is in John 17. He prays for unity. He wants us to have the same unity in Christ that he and the Father had. And to see, Jesus said, to see me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, that of my life could be said, to see David is to see Jesus. Then I know I'm unified. Then I know that I'm really living the way that in light of his power. Love is the glue of unity, that all these things put on love. Above all things, put on love and be unified. Then we have in the promise of his return in verses 20 to 21 of chapter 3 of Philippians, when it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So Paul in Philippians 4:1, now he says, the very next verse in chapter 4, verse 1 is what? Therefore, now you know verses 7 through 21, therefore, because of all that I just told you, stand fast in the Lord. And what we do is we stand fast in the promise of his return, in his promises. Not just in this case, it's of his return, but you can even expand that. Stand fast in the promises of his word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where I go, I build a mansion for you. That where I go, there ye may be also. And when I return, as we learned this morning about what this Good Samaritan says to the innkeeper, and when I return, Jesus is coming back. Because how else can I be where he is also if he's not coming back? Because not all of us are going to. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die. If the rapture happened, guess what would happen? Instantly. Death is just the separation. Our soul and spirit would be separated from this vile body and then instantly reunited with an incorruptible, immortal body. So there's the death. For those of you that have never got, that may not taste of physical death, it'll be so instantaneous you won't even feel it or see it. Promise of his return. Guess what that references back to? Eyes on the prize in verse 14. Because then I will be like Christ. The Bible says that, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him. You want to know how we're going to see God when he comes in the clouds in the sky to call his church home? Not because I can't look upon him. He's coming back in all of his glory. What's got to happen? I've got to be instantly dropped this fleshly body and reunited with my glorified body, and then I'm going to see him as he is, for I will be like him. I will be able to behold his glory because I will look just like him in all of his glory. And then he says in verse 21, who shall change our vile bodies and be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. What is that referencing? That is Christ is exalted as God. Because who's the one that God said would give the preeminence in all things, and who would subdue all things unto himself? Christ is glorified, and he's exalted. And you look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 27 to 28, you'd see where we see that happens. And it says, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued to him, then shall the Son of Man also himself be subject unto you and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So we stand fast in the Lord, Paul says. Therefore, stand fast. Therefore. I hope after today, you will never see the word therefore the same ever again. That when you see therefore, whatever follows, you will go back one, two, however many verses. We had to go all the way back to verse 7. 7 through 21 to get the therefore, why it's therefore. And what Paul meant, therefore stand fast in the Lord in his righteousness, in his resurrection power, in his likeness, in his unity, in the promise of his return. And what does that all encompass? It's not in any of the verses, but it's all in one book called God's Word. So when you stand fast in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are standing fast in all the things Paul says, which are all wrapped up and bundled in the Holy Scriptures called God's Word, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Everything you or I face or will have to deal with, we can find the answer for in this book. Psalm 119, verse 89, one of my favorite verses in regards to the Bible. It's, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. We had that verse one time, and we cut everything out that said, and all we left was, God said it, that settles it. We took out, I believe it. Because regardless of whether I believe it or not, God's word is settled in heaven. So we can clearly see that we are in the last moments of the last days of the church, and we must get to standing, and we must stand fast, and we must stand in Christ, therefore. And we must do it the way Paul listed in verses 7 through 21, because we cannot do it in our own strength, in our own self, in our own anything. These are exciting times for Christians, and we should be, we're on the precipice of Christ's return. To where, as I said this morning in Sunday school, the lesson we learned from David, from Samson, and from Jonah, they went down, or looked down. Instead, the Bible says that as you see things going on, the Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When's the last time that you've driven down the road, and then all of a sudden, you just out of the blue, you look up, and you think, I wonder. Could be today, or when you wake up in the morning, or when you go to bed tonight. Could be tonight, could be tomorrow, could be this morning, could be this afternoon, or whatever. Every time you wake up, we should be mindful of that Christ is coming back. Paul encourages us to stand fast and be the beacons of light that is in us, which is Christ, to a sin-darkened world. And God's word clearly reveals we have an unmovable, welcome to bedrock faith. That's why I titled this message, Welcome to Bedrock. Because when you get through all the loose, impediments and the soil and everything of this of the earth that we live on, you get to that bedrock which supports everything. So when you dig through myself, put away all myself, all my worthlessness, all this, and I get to the bedrock that who I'm supposed to be all about, the bedrock of me should be Christ and all those things we talked about. And I'm going to close with this. My wife will laugh because there's a Maine bumper sticker. We don't call them bumper stickers because in Maine they don't have ER. It's sticker and it's bumper. It's bumper sticker and it says this. And if you've ever been to Maine, I've lived there, and I've lived in Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, California, Texas. Maine, the way life should be. Go to Maine and visit for a while, and you tell them when something's coming that starts in California, hey, have you heard about the latest fad? Maine people will say, when it gets here, it gets here. We're not going to go seek it out. We're not going to ask it to get here any sooner. When it gets here, it gets here. So Maine, the way life should be. After today, I think of this bumper sticker. When you come into the word bedrock, one of us, Paul, should say this, bedrock. The way the Christian life should be. Maine, the way life should be in this world, but when you come into the Word of God, bedrock, which is Christ, the way the Christian life should be. Would you stand with me in prayer as we close? Heavenly Father, I've preached as frailly as possible. This human body can, this human man can, your holy, infallible, inerrant scripture, which tells us, Paul says, to therefore stand fast in the Lord. And we never need to know why if you don't look back at the verses before like we did today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bury them deep in the hearts of your people. And if there's someone here that's never trusted Christ, they wonder, what is all this standing fast all about? What is righteousness? What is the forgiveness of sins? The likeness of Christ? Resurrection? Dear God, that they would cry out to God, cry out to Jesus for salvation first. And those of us that are believers here, that we would grasp this, sink it deep in our hearts, and we would mull it over and seek to understand it deeper, all that is Christ and all that is going to be ours one day and how we could stand in Jesus. And we'll give you the praise and glory for all this that happens in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
A verse of 4:9-3, softly and tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Amen. Brother Pat, would you end our service in prayer?
Father, we thank you for today, for the opportunity to come to your house and to worship and to hear your message. We just pray that Christ would be our bedrock.
Amen.